wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. My foolishness. An honest man is frank to admit the many mistakes of his past life, but some things cannot be described as just mistakes, for they are far more serious and more inexcusable. They need another label, my foolishness. Foolhardy deeds, words, or ambitions. And what sorrows and disgraces they brought upon us. Do you say, preacher, I don't want to hear you if you're going to talk about my foolishness. I want to forget those things in my life. You do? How are you going about to forget them? Are you paying hush money to those who saw you? That's no good, for it still leaves you with a guilty and tormenting conscience. Are you trying to lie out of them or to cover them up by plain religious hypocrite? That only adds to your sins and foolishness. Fear not, for I will also show you the only way, the sure way, to be rid of them and their tormenting memory. My text you'll find in the Bible in Psalm 69:5. It says, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Those who study God's word know that in the Psalms of David, we have some of the most profound revelations of Christ and Calvary. Now keep that in mind. And yet David was sincerely speaking of himself when he said, my foolishness. King David, was he such a fool? Listen to what he did. He stole a man's wife and then tried to cover it all up. My, what a fool. King or beggar, such a life is a fool's life. Yet today, men steal the wives of others and women entice away the husbands of others, and then they try to cover it up with divorce papers. What foolishness! The Holy Son of God said, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, that's the only exception, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Unscriptural divorce is not a blanket that can hide your sin. In the judgment, your divorce papers, if for anything other than the proven immorality of your mate, will not shield you from the wrath of God, whose word declares, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But others do not go as far as did King David, but they dance with the other man's wife, and they lust after her, not regarding the words of the judge of all men. Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Because God instituted holy matrimony and family life, he hates the corruption of it and vows his punishment on all such. Neighbor, don't be a big God-defiant fool and bring God's wrath upon yourself. Young man, you have a wife? Thank God for the wife you have, and don't lust after your neighbor's wife. And so let it be with the opposite sex. Be content with the mate you have and try to make a nice family in a real home. Now we will see how King David fared after doing this foolish thing. He was utterly miserable, and all who follow him in that path will find it so. So many people today are running away. What from? Not their own shadow, but something just as impossible. Running away from their guilty conscience. There's nothing new about that, for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden tried to run away and hide behind a tree. Judas Iscariot, though he had the devil in him, yet he had a conscience. You remember how he went to those priests and confessed to them, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And then in despair, he hanged himself. His conscience really gave him a fit. He couldn't run away from it. Judas confessed his sin to the priest. What good did that do? No good. Neither will it do you any good, for your sin is against God, and he only can forgive you. A religion that sets up its priesthood and gets its members to confess to men and claim that those priests can forgive their sins, such a religion is God-defiant and man-deceiving. For who can forgive sins but God only? Our Lord Jesus can, because he is God, but no priest is God. Do what David did. He confessed to God, saying, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Although God knows, yet we must confess our guilt and come clean with everything. Neighbor, hold nothing back, but in repentance confess your sin and shame to God and seek his mercy. As our Lord Jesus describes the wickedness of our hearts, he starts with adulteries, fornications, and he ends the list with blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And this inward wickedness will come out. Oh, how foolish is the life of sin! Some people curse. What good does that do? None. And even the devil isn't such a fool as to take God's name in vain. When a man gets lower down than the devil, he's in bad shape. Now, isn't he, neighbor? And some work hard all week and then gamble their money away. My, what foolishness. And some drink their liquor and burn up their insides with alcohol, while others smoke and fill their lungs with cancer-producing nicotine. You know that an animal wouldn't be such a fool. Neighbor, what about yourself? David confessed his foolishness. Have you confessed yours? You may say that you don't live that way. You may not drink liquor. But let me ask you a few questions. Where are you now? I do not mean the town where you live. Where are you? Are you still on the broad road going down to hellfire? After God has so clearly shown you the road of life and salvation, is this your folly, going down to hell when you might go to heaven? Be honest, my neighbor. Is there any greater foolishness anywhere? Now for another question. Do you read your Bible and pray? Do you recognize day by day your entire dependence upon God, the one who gives you life and breath in all things? If you must answer, no, I don't. Then let me tell you, one and all, hear me good. A man who plunges off the top of a 10-story building is no greater fool than a man who tries to live his life without God. If you are such a fool, I do hope you will turn from your folly. So now we must all take our places with King David and get down at what I'll call, I think you'll understand, Calvary's mourner's bench. Not some mourner's bench in a church house, but at the foot of the cross. And there we must each one confess, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. We now turn the page, and as we bow at Calvary, we hear a voice. Whose voice is it? It is not King David's. It's not yours. It's not mine. It is Jesus, the Holy Son of God. Listen as he cries, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Is it true? Can it be? Yes, there's no mistake. It isn't the thief on the one side, nor the one on the other. It is the man on the middle cross, crying that cry of guilt. What does it mean? Before this, the judgment was set. Caiaphas the high priest and Pilate the governor sit as his judges. Witnesses arise. Sons of Belial, who lived in degraded wickedness, they could describe it. They charge Jesus of Nazareth with their own foolishness and shame. And he doesn't answer a word. He's silent. We say, surely he cannot be guilty of that. But why doesn't he speak? Then he's led to the execution, to Calvary's cross. There the heavens blacken over him as God's wrath and judgment fall on him. God cries as he unsheathes his sword, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord, smite the shepherd. God acknowledges Jesus as a divine shepherd, and yet he smites him in judgment. The mystery intensifies, and then comes the climax. Hearken. Does Jesus cry, O God, thou art not just in smiting me, for thou knowest I am not guilty? No, but he does cry instead, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Thou art holy, but I am a worm. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. I am dumbfounded before such a confession coming from the very lips of that holy Son of God who did no sin and who knew no sin. What does it all mean? Then in the distance I hear a cry coming from a crowd of Jews whose eyes have opened to see the answer to this mystery as they repented of their sins. Hear their cry, the cry only repentant sinners can cry. surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. This is their confession in true repentance. Now listen, O my neighbor, listen. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, he is our great sin bearer. He's taking our place of guilt. He's our substitute savior. And other voices are heard. It is Simon Peter's and the redeemed today. Listen. Christ, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Through my tears of repentance and shame, I look to that bleeding Lamb of God and cry, Lord Jesus, thou hast taken my place. Thou hast borne my sins and suffered the punishment that I deserve. Lord Jesus, I thank thee, and now I surrender to thee, my Lord and my Savior. From a grateful heart I can sing, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain, he washed me white as snow. The mystery of Calvary is gone, and the blessings of that finished work of my substitute Savior are now mine, and they can be yours. For if you repent, you too can claim that Savior and his sacrifice for you. But if you can see that sight of Calvary and hear that holy Son of God cry, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee, and you remain untouched, unmoved, I'm telling you some bad news. Now listen to me, good neighbor. You've got a heart that is harder than old Pharaoh's. That's right. If you killed a person and fled justice and read in the paper of how the law held an innocent man and he was to be electrocuted, you go to the chamber of death and see the innocent man sit in your place where you deserve to be, and then the signal is given. What would you do? Would you not cry out, stop, sheriff, stop? He didn't do it, I did it. And there on Calvary's cross, I hope you will see the Lord Jesus Christ taking your place, and that you will confess him as your Lord and Savior. And he who died for your sins now is alive forevermore in heaven. So your faith is to be in the living man on the throne, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thus you will find the silencing of your guilty conscience. You will then know that Christ paid it all for you, and that God has justified you, because all your sins and foolishness have been borne by Jesus and put away forever, and his resurrection is a guarantee of it. That's enough to make anyone say hallelujah, and that means praise ye the Lord, and then start out to live each day for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.
I love my Savior, my precious Savior. He died on Calvary's cross for me. And now he's risen, gone up to heaven. Someday he's coming.